ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. B-Mac behind the glass, back behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And Blankers?
Yes.
Texans fans are in their feelings, man. You say anything negative about the Texans on Twitter?
Oh, really?
Texans fans get after you. They're tired of this nonsense.
Are they becoming Astros Twitter?
No, because really there's nothing for Astros Twitter, it's hard for them to be defensive about certain things because they win.
They win, right.
They win. Right. They win at a very high level. Yep. They've won 2 World Series in the last 6 years. They've been to 4 of them. They've won 6. They've been to 6 straight ALCSs. So, like, it's a different vibe, okay, if you will. Okay. Texans fans, I think, are sensitive to the fact because they don't win. You know, they haven't won in a little while. 4 wins, 4 wins, 3 wins. They've won 11 games in the last 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. That if you say, and then I ran into this yesterday, I didn't really know this existed. They'll come after you trying to, like, make it where their organization is not as bad as it seems. Because we talk a lot about the Texans. They're a dumpster fire, a clown show. Things have obviously not been very good, which I think is very obvious. I think it's a fact. I think it's very easy to say those things. And the Texans are trying to fix that, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the uniforms, who cares, go win football games. Whether it's Kyle McNair grilling burgers and hot dogs, who cares, go win football games. Whether it's a new team president, who cares, go win football games. That, like, they want you to look at everything else except for the product on the field. Mm-hmm. But going into this offseason, it was our hope, right, that the Houston Texans would be able to fix the problem, right? That they're figuring it out. Jack Easterby's gone. All the bad coaches that you had. Now, Bill O'Brien wasn't a bad coach. He was a bad GM, but he's gone. David Culley, he's gone. Lovie Smith, he's gone. We got cap space. We got draft picks. We're going to have a new head coach. Woo! We're going to start willing and dealing, right? We're going to start being that organization in the NFL that has success. And look, I was buying into that, and maybe I was fooled, quite honest with you. Maybe they were being the illusionist, and I fell for the trap. They put the cheese, and I went and got it and fell right into the mousetrap, right? That's because what I've seen, like the coaching candidate list, that's fine. Like, that's good. We like a lot of those guys on that list. Benny Johnson, he pulled out for whatever reason. Like, he pulled out of the Texans coaching search for whatever reason. We don't know the reasoning. We can give our best guess, our best hypothesis, our best rationale and reason, but we don't know. But the facts of the matter are that the Texans were interested in Ben Johnson enough to interview him, right? The Texans got the interview with Ben Johnson, and then Ben Johnson pulled his name out of the Texans' hat along with the Panthers and along with the Colts.
Right.
That is a fact.
Yep.
Benny Johnson pulled his name out of consideration of 3 teams, one of those being the Houston Texans.
The Big Johnson pulled out.
Benny Johnson pulled out.
That too.
The latest is Sean Payton. The latest is Sean Payton. We had a bunch of good news the other day. On Tuesday, it was good news. Look at Sean Payton talking up the Texan situation. I don't know the ownership well, but I think that they're pretty good. I don't know Nick all that well, but I think that they're pretty good. They have draft picks. They have cap space. That's what we've been hearing all the time. But one of the things that we've always talked about is that you can't escape bad ownership. If you have bad ownership, it's going to be very difficult to win in any professional league. And the fear that Cal McNair is not a good owner has existed ever since that he's took over, right? And I know he's not technically the owner, but the dude's the owner. He's the one representing the organization. So the thought was this offseason that they'd be able to figure it out. But the whole hope that I had of figuring it out is starting to fade fast. Whether it's Benny Johnson, a lot of people don't like that I say that. Well, Benny Johnson pulled out of every consideration for all 3 teams. Cool. He didn't like any of the situations for one reason or another and wanted to go back to Detroit for one reason or another. But he pulled out of consideration. The latest is this Colin Cowherd stuff. And a lot of people are very sensitive about Colin Cowherd saying these things about the Texans and then people making the assumption that he's talking about the Houston Texans. Oh, you can't believe Colin Cowherd. You can't believe a word that he said. You got to believe Saints beat writer Nick Underhill, which is funny. You can't believe Colin Cowherd, but you have to believe somebody else that's sending a message that you want. Why? Like, why? Because you like that message, so you want to believe that message, but you're not going to believe this message because you don't like that message? That's kind of where we're at. Here was Saints beat writer the other day, Blankers, Nick Underhill, talking about the he went on in a station in Louisiana, sister station for ESPN, and talked about the meeting. Here's the good news. Talked about the meeting between Sean Payton and the Houston Texans.
Heard that the meeting with Houston last night went really well. Both sides were impressed with one another. I think that's probably going to be the feeling coming out of a lot of these.
Okay. Nick Underhill says the meeting went well. Saints beat writer. Who does he know here? I don't know. Maybe he knows Sean Payton's people. Maybe an on-the-record thing. I don't know. Nick Underhill's telling you that the meeting between Sean Payton and the Houston Texans went well. Colin Cowherd saying the opposite, right? Colin Cowherd saying that and we'll get to some of the sound from Colin Cowherd in a little bit, because everybody that's commenting about what Colin Cowherd said did not watch the program yesterday. 99% of people that are commenting on that viral video that went out did not watch The Herd with Colin Cowherd yesterday. I went back with Hulu. You can go back and watch old programming. I watched the 8.5 minutes to lead off the show that Colin Cowherd talked about ownership groups in the NFL and what you have to require to win the NFL. And I cut up a lot of them. So we're going to play a lot of them here in a little bit, too. But if you're a Sean Payton believer, and like you and I are a little bit different, he's third on your list, yep. He's fourth on my list currently since Benny Johnson pulled his name out of the hat, you can believe Saints beat writer Nick Underhill that the meeting went fine, or you can believe Colin Cowherd that ownership matters and Sean Payton really wasn't all that thrilled with the ownership group and the impression that he got. I will say this, though, Blankers. What happens from here on forward is going to tell us the truth. Because right now, it's what do you want to believe? Do you want to believe Underhill? Do you want to believe Cowherd? And we'll play some cuts that might change your mind a little bit. But you're in a spot where you're kind of guessing on what happened, and you're choosing who to believe, the good or the bad. I think it's more the bad than the good, and I'll explain why in a little bit. But we will get our answer. No matter what side of it you're on, you're going to get your answer. If the Texans don't interview Sean Payton again, we have our answer. If the Texans have another meeting with Sean Payton, we have our answer. So the good news is we will find out. This isn't one of those cases where we'll never know. We'll never find out. No, we will. If Sean Payton interviews with the Texans again, you can forget all of this. But if he doesn't interview with the Texans again, you can remember all of this.
No question about it, because I think a lot of times you find out when the writing's on the wall. We were talking about this yesterday as it related to the Rockets. And if they do move on from Steven Silas, as much as we all have a lot of innuendo, rumors, sources and other things going around right now, the next coach the Rockets hire will tell you a lot about how much validity was in all those stories that we heard, because if you get another manipulative young guy, then Rafael Stone is probably doing a lot of what was reported. If Rafael Stone relents and hires a guy like a Sean Payton type guy, then you've got a different set of circumstances, because you realize that there was a compromise, or it was more to the liking of the owner getting involved and the right decision being made. Same thing with the Texans. When you look at this Texans situation, they can't get out of their own way for 3 years. They've done everything wrong that they and set at the bar so low that everybody looks at them as the laughing stock of all of football. They now are obviously doing a ton of work internally, whether they're getting help or not, to try and change and transform their entire image. It's obviously centered right now about the head coaching position. But they know that the elephant in the room is Cal McNair is the laughing stock, and they've handled a whole bunch of things wrong from a management perspective, and there's a lot of question marks about Nick Caserio. But they're trying to rewrite that, and they're trying to start anew all the way across the board. Now, something like this comes out, and like you said, in a lot of the cases we've seen in the media recently with a lot of major stories, if you don't do the due diligence and the homework to watch the entire soundbite and the entire encapsulated show,
yeah,
and you only take what you want to take, well, then you only take away what you want to take away. The reason why it was posted the way it was, the reason why it was isolated with Colin the way it was, is so that they get the reaction that they have gotten since then across the board, across social media and otherwise.
But who framed that? Who framed that?
Well, I think that it depends on who put out the clip.
It was Texans fans. Like, so it wasn't released by FF1 or FS1 or The Herd.
So then again, mm-hmm. You get what you have a purpose to why it's John Boy. It's everything else. You have a purpose to your post. You are posting something with a direct purpose to try and get reactions a certain way out of certain people. And it's working. It's working to a T. It's running like wildfire right now because everybody's got an opinion about what was said.
I disagree with that, actually. I don't think it was out there for reaction. I think it was out there for a discussion point, because one of the big questions the Texans currently have with this organization is, can ownership get out of its way to have a winning program? We don't know the answer to that. With Cal McNair, there's been a lot of things under his ownership, and I know some people like to nitpick, he's not the owner, okay, under his direction, that have not looked good. They have not. No. You gave Bill O'Brien all the power in the world. You fired him in the like 4 games into the season because he was a terrible GM. You let him abuse that power. You let him make bad trades.
Traded D-Hop. Jack and we Easterby. Don't know if you even knew about it.
There is a long list of things that have happened in this organization under Cal McNair's vision, under his direction, that are flat out embarrassing for an NFL football
Look,
program.
And the way that it was framed, you can't help but be directed to Cal McNair because there's so many boxes that sure. check off from inheriting the team. That's a check, you know, and the Zoom chat when he met in person with a lot of teams and he was glowing about certain organizations. You check them off and you realize he's talking about Cal. He's talking about Cal. It was easy to make the correlation.
Right. And we're going to get to all the bites in our next segment, but going into this offseason, like, were you there with me too? That your hope going into the offseason is that the Texans are figuring it out. You fire Easterby in the middle of the year. You make a bold decision with the head coaching spot that was not viewed in a positive light nationally. You did it right away. You're decisive.
You
have control.
4 days.
You put together a coaching list that looks really good, yep. right? You have some top assistants. You have Sean Payton, who immediately brings the organization credibility. But my offseason hope that the Texans are figuring it out is fading fast. Maybe part of it is that I'm still so very bitter that Benny Johnson's not going to be the head coach of the Texans. That makes me very, very sad. But also, you potentially have Sean Payton telling his friend, Colin Cowherd, who he hangs out with, that the ownership potentially here is dysfunctional, that it is not good, that is bad. So you can have all the draft capital. You can have all the salary cap space. But if you have bad ownership, you can never escape that, and you're never going to be a winning organization. Let's try to decipher if Colin Cowherd was being insightful here, whether he was telling the truth here. Because a lot of people are calling BS on Colin Cowherd. I understand. Colin Cowherd's a radio talk show host that likes to get ratings. Some people saying he has a little bit of Skip Bayless in him. I get that. But I'm going to present the case when we come back that Colin Cowherd was speaking the truth. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Talking about the Sean Payton telling Colin Cowherd, according to Colin Cowherd, whether you believe it or not, we're gonna get to some of this. And look, here's the reality of the situation when it comes to Sean Payton. He's your third option based on the draft capital. Yours, Blanker's third option, considering the draft capital that we presume you would have to give up for Sean Payton. He's my fourth option, presuming the draft capital that you would have to attach to acquire Sean Payton. And you see some of the dollar figures coming out. Look, I don't care.
$25 million a year.
20 to 25.
Years.
20 to a year.
Yeah,
a year.
Per year.
AAV.
For 4 years.
100 mil
for 4 years.
He wants to be the highest paid coach in the NFL, more than Belichick. Belichick apparently gets about $20 million per season. So there you go. Sean Payton wants to be one of the highest paid coaches, or the highest paid coach in the entire NFL. And look, I don't care. That's coming from Cal's pocketbook. It doesn't affect the salary cap, so it shouldn't influence the, you know, quality of the roster. So if he wants to pay that, whatever. He has to pay that. I care more about the draft capital than I do the salary. It shouldn't affect the roster whatsoever. So this isn't really from a point of like, oh no, Texans, you're not getting your Sean Payton. This is not like doom and gloom, because we don't want it to be Sean Payton if we got our druthers. If we picked whoever the head coach was, it's not Payton. The thing that you should be worried about, Texans fans, is that you have, because everybody's been talking about how reputable Sean Payton is, right? What have we heard this entire week? Oh, Sean Payton brings immediate credibility to the organization. You have to take the Texans seriously because of how well-respected Sean Payton is. So let's use your words, generally speaking, to the city, people that are pro Sean Payton. You're telling us how great Sean Payton is and how respected Sean Payton is, and now, potentially, that great, respected, credible, serious coach is potentially saying that your organization is dysfunctional. Let's get to some of the sound bites. Because, look, I'm of the belief, looking at Twitter, that 95% of people that have an opinion on what they heard from Colin Cowherd yesterday did not watch the first 8.5 minutes of The Herd yesterday, right, with Colin Cowherd. I went back last night. I cut it up. I recorded it. 8.5 minutes is how Colin Cowherd started his show. Colin Cowherd started his show for 8.5 minutes about the Sean Payton situation and the three organizations that are currently courting Sean Payton: the Houston Texans, the Denver Broncos, and the Carolina Panthers. So let's piece it all together, because all we get right now is the soundbite. Oh, the ownership's dysfunctional, Zoom, blah, 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 blah. Here was Colin Cowherd opening his show yesterday on what he, this was Wednesday, opening his show on Wednesday, what he was doing Tuesday night.
Went to dinner last night, hung out with Sean Payton. How much fun is that? Bill Parcells' story. I could sit and listen to Bill Parcells' stories all night long. Jason McIntyre is joining me. Went to the 900 last night and just talked football for hours.
So a lot of people are like, well, where did Colin Cowherd get this? Some people realize that he also said that he hung out. Well, Colin Cowherd, he's hanging out with Sean Payton for 4 or 5 hours. We've been to night. Now, 4 or 5 hours is pretty extreme. Yeah. But we've been to nice dinners with a group of people.
Sure.
You get there early, you have some drinks, you have an appetizer, you enjoy your entree, you kick back, have some coffee and dessert. Those dinners can go on 3 hours. Easy.
Oh, no doubt.
3 hours, mm-hmm. easy. So Colin Cowherd right now is telling you that he hung out with Sean Payton. He was talking to Sean Payton. They have at least a working relationship. They work at FS1 together. I'm not going to go as far to say they have a friendship, because I have no idea.
Right.
But we know that they have a working relationship. We know that Sean Payton was on his show this week. And we know that Colin Cowherd had a dinner with Sean Payton talking football and Bill Parcells the entire night. So that adds an element of credibility. He was with Sean Payton on Tuesday night after he interviewed with the Houston Texans. The Denver Bronco interview, I think, was also Tuesday afternoon. The Carolina interview is coming up later this week. So Cowherd mentions Sean Payton twice, and this is an 8.5 minute opening to his show. He mentions him six times. I don't think that's by accident, Blankers. He's making it known that he was with Sean Payton.
Sure.
I think Sean Payton wants this information out there.
See, that's what I was going to say. The one thing that, and being, I was going to say if he needed help picking up all the names that he dropped and all the restaurants that he was
hiring. I think it's intentional,
but
though.
I think that the one thing that I was going to say the minute that I heard it was, I hope you talked to Sean and made sure what was on the record enough. Because I've been privy to a ton of that stuff. Working for the Rockets, we had a lot of those kind of dinners. Some of them, it was, you know, really specific stuff talked about, whether it be a trade or a player issue or things like that. Sometimes it was with people that were from other teams, and they were telling us stories. But you had to really kind of digest it all with the idea of, hey, before I ever think about going public with any of this, and a lot of it you wouldn't. But if you did, you wanted to check off with the person that told it to you to say, look, I'm not going to say I heard it from you and blah, blah, blah. Would you be okay? But if he's that freely throwing this kind of info out there, I would tend to agree with you that this is the kind of thing that when we talk about how agents, players, and now coaches can manipulate situations through the media, mm-hmm. this could be an example.
Because you have a dinner. You're having a Gentle Ben, cast strength bourbon before supper, before your filet. Like, your drinks are flowing. You're going to talk a little bit. Some of it, you don't want it on the record. I'm glad that you said that. Here is Colin Cowherd with another Sean Payton reference, and this time a little bit of information about Sean Payton's process trying to be a head coach again in the NFL.
There's a story today. It is interesting. Spent a lot of time last night, about 4 or 5 hours, with Sean Payton.
Another one.
And he's a great hang. Great stories. Funny, smart guy. So there's stories out there today. Tom Brady, Sean Payton, are they going to go to Carolina? He does interview. I think it's this Friday. He's flying out to New York to meet with David Tepper. I can disclose that.
He is telling you that he can disclose the information on Sean Payton after having dinner with Sean Payton. Who do you think told him that he could disclose that?
It's obvious. Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. Yeah, I don't mind if you go to air with that. I don't mind if you tell people that I'm interviewing with the Carolina job on Friday. But then all of a sudden, he's going to Skip Bayless, the ownership stuff and in the Zoom stuff. Like, Mr. Brostash, can't believe either of them. But Cowherd is a little skip in him. He's a mainstreamer. Take his opinion with a grain of salt. You know how they operate way more than any of us. I don't believe that's. I believe that Colin Cowherd's had many dinners off the record. I bet you Colin Cowherd's had dinners with, you know, huge influencers in the sports world many times, but they say, hey, this is an off the record dinner. I'd rather you not mention it on your show. Colin Cowherd, the very next show that he had After a long dinner with Sean Payton and probably multiple people at FS1, the very next show, it leads off his show for 8.5 minutes, and he's giving you information that is true. That has been reported as well, that Sean Payton's going to be interviewing for the Carolina job Friday or Saturday in New York with David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers. And he tells you that I've been told I can go on the record with that. But we're not supposed to believe Colin Cowherd for some reason?
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't believe Colin Cowherd. I think that you just have to do it justice by listening to the entire show, whether that could be painful or not, depending on if you're a fan of Cowherd or not. But if you're going to print your opinions, if you're going to get worked up about the situation, then you have to get the full context of everything that was said. And you have to legitimize the fact that if he mentions this many times and references where they ate, where you could actually, if you wanted to verify it, you could get in contact with that restaurant and pretty much verify it. Yeah, they were in our VIP room. Yeah, they were at table 9. Whatever. You can do that. And he's basically validating his source.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should be able to take it with more than a grain of salt or be upset and think that it's sensationalism if he is going this far out of his way to let you know and paint the picture of legitimacy with Sean Payton.
And how many times did he drop that? He dropped it six times in 8.5 minutes to let everybody know, this is Sean Payton. This is coming from Sean Payton. Here's another one, another Sean Payton reference. And we start to get into like, okay, well, there's three teams. Like, why is he talking about the Houston Texans here? Well, here's Cowherd about another Payton reference and one of the teams involved in the hunt for Sean Payton.
Yesterday, Sean spent 4 or 5 hours with the people that own the Denver Broncos up in a little north here of Los Angeles. Very impressive group. Condoleezza Rice is in that group.
So again, he's talking about Payton's references, and like you mentioned Payton, he's talking about sources of like the interview. Like he's telling you how impressive they were. He told you he went for 5 or 6 hours. Where did he get that information? I can't imagine. Probably the dude he was at dinner with the night before. Yet again, we're not supposed to take Colin Cowherd seriously. So I think we can eliminate Denver, though, right? Because we know the Cowherd, and we're going to play the cut coming up here shortly. We know it's coming, the Zoom, all of that. But you can cross Denver off as that dysfunctional organization. Here's another one from Colin Cowherd. Ownership's the most important thing.
Belichick and Andy Reid chose owner over quarterback, over division, over roster, over cap issues, over draft capital. Who owns the team? And so I think it's interesting listening to Sean last night talk about the various ownership situations and how much it matters.
He tells you that Sean's talking about the various ownership groups and where he's going to go is going to depend on ownership. And I believe that's why Sean Payton gave Colin Cowherd this information, because he's been very transparent. He talked pretty good about the Houston Texans, and now he's not going to take the Houston Texans job, in my theory. I don't think he's going to interview again, in my theory. And he's telling Cowherd the reason why. Here's the clip that went viral. The sound bite that went viral from Colin Cowherd yesterday that a lot of people jump into conclusions, and I believe was directed towards the Houston Texans.
There's a lot of bad owners out there that sometimes they inherited money from a family. A lot of times they don't even like the sport. Somebody dies in the family, they're left with it. But the gap, I can tell you this, the gap, listening to stories last night, between the haves and the have-nots in this league is not just quarterbacks or coaches. It is ownership. Even on Zoom calls, you can spot the dysfunction. Zoom calls, not even being in the room, you can see why certain teams lose and why certain teams win.
Blankers. Mm-hmm. He met with Denver in person for 5 to 6 hours at L.A. Mm-hmm. He's meeting with Carolina and Dave Tepper in New York either on Friday or Saturday. The one team that he has had a Zoom meeting with is the Houston Texans. You're
what
trying to
Cardinals?
Tell me? No, Cardinals have not interviewed Sean Payton. There's people thought that they were. No, they have not.
Okay.
He's interviewed with two teams currently. Zoom with the Texans, in-person meeting with Denver. A lot of people say he's not going to interview with Arizona now because he's mad that they hired a GM without his approval.
Yep.
So there's been one team that he has talked to via Zoom. It's the Houston Texans. Sean Payton, and a lot of people don't want to believe this because they don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe it's true about their organization because they have hope going into this offseason that they can finally get rid of the stigma of bad ownership. Sean Payton, who everybody's been telling us all week, is so credible, is so serious. Everybody has to take him, you know, like he hung the moon, right, in the football world, in the NFL world. He is flat out telling you that the Texans are dysfunctional because of Cal McNair. This is why Cal should be hidden, not displayed. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sean Payton has called the Houston Texans organization dysfunctional. He says you can see it over a Zoom meeting.
I am from Texas, and I know ranching. I didn't know this Colin had a herd of cows or cow herd, but I need to say something. I am a burger flipping, Hannah's tripping, transparent son of a gun or son of the owner that died, but I'm here.
Give me a woo now.
Woo.
You can't say all those things, son of a gun, and then not a woo.
Woo.
And we know the Calmaneer's got to be a wrestler.
I sat courtside against to see the Rockets play the Charlotte Hornets.
Did he?
Yes. With Hannah.
That was last night?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
He looked comfy on the baseline.
So he was escape losing.
He may have a suite where he could do Zoom chats later, but for the time being, he was sitting courtside.
5627, I think Coward is a moron for the most part, but Branham's 100% right. As a journalist, there's zero chance Coward says those things without being sure it's true, especially considering all the Payton name drops he included. I would say this. Look, I don't think Coward's a moron. I think a lot of times he says things that are silly and outrageous and radio hosty. I would also say he's not a journalist. I think Colin Coward would probably be one of the first people to tell you he's not a journalist either. But he's also not going to bury a colleague or bury a dude that he just had dinner with the night before. He's not going to go on the record with all of this stuff if Sean Payton didn't give him the green light. And he flat out said during the 8.5 minutes to open his show yesterday a couple of things that Sean Payton gave him clearance to say. But then all of a sudden, we're not going to believe part of it. We're not going to believe the part that you Texans fans don't want to believe. Like, everybody's saying that he's a hot take artist. He's doing this for ratings, all of this. He gave you two really good tidbits that if Ian Rappaport tweeted right now, we would be going goo goo gaga over. Oh, he spent 5 to 6 hours with Denver? We see that on Twitter. It gets retweeted 10,000 times. He's having dinner with Dave Tepper in New York Friday or Saturday. Adam Schefter retweets that. It gets retweeted, 50,000 times, probably more than that. I don't even know how many numbers that they do. I'm sure it's large. So there's credibility to what he's saying, and he proved the credibility to what he's saying. If he's talking about dysfunctional ownership from people that he's talked to, the Texans are the only organization that has zoomed him. Which, by the way, as an aside about this, Blankers, think about this for a second. Sean Payton, we're assuming that the Texans are serious about him, right? Ian Rappaport said they're serious about him. We're assuming the Texans are serious about one of the top candidates, and a lot of people think the top candidate, available in this coaching carousel. He's out there. The Texans are courting him. They really want him. Denver's going to where he lives in L.A. for 5 to 6 hours. I'm assuming it's in a really nice conference room in a really nice hotel. I imagine there's probably some pretty good catering involved there. They're wining and dining Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Dave Tepper's flying to New York Friday or Saturday to meet with Sean Payton. I'm assuming Sean Payton's probably there for business. I bet you that there's going to be some wining and dining involved with Sean Payton. Meanwhile, the Houston Texans that want to do business with Sean Payton, they're asking Sean Payton what his email address is so they can send him the Zoom link. That's what we're dealing with. Whenever I got hired for this job...
But why does it... This doesn't surprise you, though, does it?
But that's I'm speaking to the dysfunction.
Yeah.
And the hope that we had that this dysfunction was going to leave, because I did have that hope. I'll be honest with you. You're bringing in a new coach. He's going to be the one that resurrects the franchise. Draft capital, salary cap space. Here we go, baby. No, the Texans are the same old Texans.
Here's the thing, too, Jeremy. Again, you hear from Cal, and you hear, we're going to go to people and get sources and people involved that haven't been involved in the past, right? But the people that have involved, that should have been involved, if you're Nick Casario, you came from New England. You telling me that you ever asked for an email address for a Zoom chat with Bill Belichick and those guys? With Robert Kraft, with his private plane. You're telling me that you don't know the right way to really first class the hell out of somebody, impress them, and make them believe that this is where I want to be? You're telling them that, you're telling me, the same way that that bumbling idiot with a Bible used to manipulate Cal on a daily basis in Jack Easterby, you're telling me Nick Casario couldn't come to Cal and say, you know what? If Sean can't come to us, we need to go to him to show him we need business. And this is what we need to do. Get the plane gassed up. Let's go where Sean is, to L.A. or wherever. Let's get the reservations at 900 or wherever Colin went. Let's go and break bread and show them we are a different organization starting right now, and we're going to do whatever's necessary to woo him into being our next head coach unless we don't want him. But let's make him understand that it's going to be our choice, not his, because he's going to want to be here. And instead, they can't even do that right. Someone has to influence Cal. And if Hannah, who seems to really like living that lifestyle and understand it, why can't Hannah be the one that says, too, if you really want this guy, you can't half-ass it and do a Zoom chat. You got to go get him. You got to go see him. You went and saw Caserio twice before you got him. Took the plane both times to the East Coast. You're telling me that it would really be painful or it's out of the realm of possibilities to gas up and go to L.A.?
They wooed Caserio. They gassed twice. Up the plane and went and got Nick Caserio. Jack Easter, maybe it was the Jack Easterby influence, because you just said somebody needs to be influencing Cal now. Maybe it was the Easterby influence that did that. Hey, Cal, we got to go get our guy. We got to go get our guy. Nick's our guy. Let's go get our guy. Maybe he needs that right now, because think about that, man. Like, you're an NFL organization. Like, whenever I was hired for this job, Mr. Gal, or the GM, Todd, they took me out to have a drink and a bite before I accepted this job. Like, this job, midday radio, major market, which is a big deal, but it's not the NFL. It's a multi-billion dollar business. It's very competitive. You're talking about Sean Payton wanting $20 to $25 million per year. Ian Rappaport says that the Houston Texans are very serious. Really? Because I don't see that. I see the Walmart money going to L.A., spending 5 to 6 hours with Sean Payton. A lot of people said that they weren't going to let him go without hiring him. I see Dave Tepper, you know, putting in the miles flying to New York. I'm sure they're going to have a really nice dinner and have a really nice conversation for multiple hours. That tells me that those two teams are serious. Yeah. That shows me that Denver's serious. That shows me that Carolina is serious. I'm supposed to think that the Houston Texans are serious about hiring a really good head coach by asking for his email address and sending him a Zoom link? It's the NFL. Go get your dude. If you're serious, go get your dude. Don't have a Zoom meeting.
I hate to do this to Rudy, because, you know, this chaps his ass, but I'm going to do it. My experiences are on the NBA side. This is the same way if you were courting a free agent.
Absolutely.
Okay? The only difference being you do have to work out the compensation with the Saints. But when you went into free agency, when free agency opened up at 12:01, you identified who you were going to get, and your number one target was getting the best sell-it job that you could possibly get. You're getting free electronics. You're getting the best dinner that money can buy. You're getting a private suite where they can chat. You're getting a PowerPoint presentation and a video with graphics that are done with you wearing their uniform, and you are getting the sell of a lifetime. When Carmelo Anthony would come to the Rockets, if they didn't go to a hotel in L.A. at the Beverly Wilshire to talk to LeBron and whoever else they were going to talk to, when Carmelo Anthony came here, the Breakfast Club came to a luxury mansion in River Oaks that they had rented out for Carmelo to stay at, so he didn't have to stay at a hotel. The Breakfast Club made him breakfast in the luxury mansion, and then they brought him to the building where they had championship trophies with life-size pictures of him holding them in a Rockets uniform and all the sell of all top of a sell jobs of all time. That's how you go out and woo someone.
That or Zoom.
God.
That or Zoom. You know what that tells me, though? Like, it tells me that there's dysfunction. It also tells you it's a lie, right? Like, it doesn't tell me that they're serious. It tells me that they're leaking to Rappaport that they're serious. But if they're serious, they're hopping on the plane. They're not holding a Zoom. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Gabriel. Gabriel, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. I love the show. I was at that game yesterday, and the Rockets identified my 10 years of being a season ticket holder, so they upgraded me down to courtside, and I was not far from Cal. I didn't recognize him at first, taller in person, but after the game, when he walked past us, everybody made it apparent to say, sell the team, sell the team.
Wow.
He acknowledged, he waved his hand, but there was probably about 35 people waiting in line to say, sell the team, sell the team, and he just waved his hand. But the cool thing is, Brian Cranston and Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad were also in front of me, so it was pretty cool to witness that. But yeah, Cal was there, Fertitta was there, everybody was there to see Charlotte.
Hey, Gabriel, how tall did you think Cal McNair was?
I see him on TV, I see him on the field, but I thought he was maybe 5'10", but
wow.
He's pretty tall.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Gabriel. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the
congratulations
the insight.
Yeah. On your long service of season ticket holder to the Rocket.
Yeah, congrats on getting courtside tickets as well.
Way to endure that painful experience the last couple of years.
It was a fun game, at least yesterday, at least.
For three quarters.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, so Sean Payton apparently thinks Kyle McNair is dysfunctional. Even if you don't believe that from Colin Cowherd, although we presented a really good case of why you should. They're trying to court the top coaching free agent via Zoom while he's being wine and dined by Denver and Carolina. This is why Kyle McNair should be hidden, by the way. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sad music because it's a sad organization. And I'm more fired up about this than I actually thought, apparently. I just got the hell out of the way
because you were pretty...
Maybe it's because I feel hoodwinked, to be honest with you. Like, I thought, okay, here we go. It's a new day for the Texans. New head coach, salary cap space, draft capital. And I think the Texans are flat out bluffing. I really do. I think the Texans' perceived interest in Sean Payton is a flat out bluff. It's very easy to tweet at Ian Rappaport, not tweet it, but to leak to Ian Rappaport. Yeah, we really want Sean Payton. It's really easy to tell the Saints, yeah, we'll give you that draft pick compensation and then really never want Sean Payton. It's very easy to interview him and then tweet out to everybody, look, guys, we interviewed Sean Payton. It gives you the clout, right? It's like, oh, look, the Texans, you got to take them seriously. I'm an actions over words guy, man. You're conducting an interview with what many people think is the best coach on the market over Zoom while Denver's going to L.A. Denver's flying to L.A. to go meet with him. Dave Tepper's flying to New York to go meet with Sean Payton, and your interview's via a Zoom?
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, Jeremy. We were talking about it during the break. You would not let Nick Caserio out of your sights until you got him to be the next general manager of this team. You basically said so. You never denied it. You went on the plane. You went and got him. You basically told him, you're not getting away until we get you to say you're going to be the next general manager of this football team, and you got what you asked for. If you, aside from the draft compensation and the, whatever the you have to work out with the Saints, you at least want to give the same kind of imagery to a guy that brings to the table the resume that Sean Payton brings to the table. If you truly are serious about going to get him, if you're not serious about going to get him and you just want the credibility of being able to say, we wanted him, he was okay talking to us. He's talked about how, you know, he's I want to say glowingly, but he said a lot of positive things about knowing the McNair family and the ownership group and the group practices with the Texans and the capital that they have coming up. All those kind of things to where whether he picks you or you pick him or you guys go your separate ways, he's done you a solid already. So you basically, in a lot of ways, look like, and I said this yesterday, you were looking for the credibility. It's the wrong time for both parties. Sean Payton's looking for a win-now situation. The Texans are not anywhere close to winning now, so they need maybe a more younger, up-and-coming coach that's going to grow with his team. But if you're just looking for the credibility, if you're doing what they continue to look like they're trying to do and resurrect their image and restart the whole organization, this is a great look. So you might as well keep riding it into the sunset. So when something like this comes out, it doesn't help to keep that thing going in the right direction.
They're bluffing. Like Battery Chuck just said that. Ian, I think it's the same thing that we were talking about earlier. Ian Rappaport says that the Texans are willing to match asking price for Payton. Cool. It takes two to tango. Like, it's great that the Texans be willing to match the asking price for Payton or whatever. This is the Saints asking price. Like, this is what the Saints want via draft capital. It's easy for the Texans to say they're willing to do that, but then just never hire Sean Payton. It's very easy for the Texans to say, oh yeah, we're willing to go to $20 to $25 million for Sean Payton, but never really offer Sean Payton. And then on top of that, it's going to require Sean Payton to say, I want the Houston Texans, which right now, what we know was that Sean Payton went on Colin Cowherd's show on Monday, which, by again, they have a relationship. We don't know how serious that relationship is, but they have a relationship. He went on and talked about the Texans and how they're, you know, appealing because of their salary cap space, because of their draft capital, talked about how ownership's very important, meets with the Texans later that night via Zoom, by the way, on Monday night. meets with the Denver Broncos on Tuesday, not via Zoom, in L.A. for 5 to 6 hours, has dinner with Colin Cowherd on Tuesday night, tells him a bunch of information, tells him how ownership's very important, and then Colin Cowherd goes on and says that, you know, you can tell ownership dysfunction via Zoom. Only team that Peyton's talked to is via Facts. Zoom. So that's all the stuff that we know involving Sean Payton and the Houston Texans. I'm calling their bluff. I don't think the Texans are serious, and I think that they're an embarrassment of an organization, even if they are serious, that they're conducting an interview versus Zoom. I think it's ridiculous. Also, the Cal McNair part. Remember when people celebrated? Oh, look, Cal McNair says he's going to be more involved in the hire this time around. I cringed when I heard that. A lot of people celebrated when they heard that. Yay, Cal McNair is going to be more involved in this hire. Quite frankly, and we talked about this the other day when Cal McNair went on the highway to hell, the dude should be a silent owner. Like, no doubt. Needs to sit in the back and be the money man. And when Sean Payton goes to Nick Caserio and's like, hey, what about ownership? Oh, don't worry about him. He's sitting behind the door, you know, cashing the checks, or writing the checks, I should say. Don't worry about money. He's willing to spend all the money in the world. But we probably don't want to meet him. We probably don't want to talk to Cal McNair. The worst thing that this organization can do is display Cal McNair. We saw it on full display when he talked for 45 minutes on the highway to hell. We think, and I would say with a pretty safe confidence, that he told, Sean Payton, told Colin Cowherd that the ownership in Houston is dysfunctional via Zoom. They need to hide Cal McNair.
Look, I think that, and in a lot of ways, what you're saying is, I know this time, right? Because I think that they're trying to right the wrongs of the past. So now you know who's involved in the coaching search because he identified himself and Nick, and they might use some other people that are sources and resources of theirs that they haven't used in the past. But in the past, we kept asking the question, well, who hired Cully? Well, when they did the quick knee-jerk reaction to everything that was going on with Brian Flores and they suddenly hired Lovey, well, who did that? And there was question after question. So I think that, again, subtly with the press conference and the way a lot of information has matriculated its way out to us and to the fans, you start to try and answer questions that have been lingering for a long period of time. You know, and also, for the future, understand that it's going to be a different scenario. This time, they didn't wait 4 days to fire their coach. They did the first thing out of the chute. Right after that, they didn't drag their feet trying to find candidates they could line up to interview. They identified five right out of the chute, and then they started attacking, interviewing him right away. They're doing everything different. Cal is telling you that they're going to be transparent in the process. They're going to try and give you, the fans and the media, the information that we were like trying to pull teeth trying to get in the past. So they're trying to do all these things differently. This is part of the process too. But if part of the process is, and again, I go back to this smarter people in the room. If Nick Caserio, who's done all this stuff for all these years with the Patriots, was in the room for any, if not all, of the things that they did as an organization, understood the right way to do it, why could they not go to Cal and say, you got to stay out in the background? Or you could say hi and bye.
Yeah.
But let us handle the meat and potatoes part of this, because besides steak and mashed, we're talking a lot about the future of our franchise, and we're trying to make a good impression. Someone, as difficult of a conversation it is, and we had a business PR person with the Rockets, had to be the fall guy or fall female, the fall women that had to go tell Les Alexander, you got to not say anything right now. You got to stay in the back because we can't misstep right now. We need to do this the right way, and it's imperative. Someone has to at least be the smartest person in the room or the wisest to be able to speak up and go, this is how we're going to play this out. And they're not doing it.
The same people that were celebrating the day after Lovey was hired for winning the press conference were the same people that were celebrating that Cal McNair is going to be more involved in the coaching decision. Like, at some point, you just can't take that seriously, right? Like, you shouldn't be celebrating Lovey Smith won the press conference the day after he was hired when it was a wild hire. Thank you, BMAC. Just like you can't be celebrating Cal McNair more involved in the coaching decision. Like, let's think about this for a second. Let's try to be rational about this for a second. Let's remember what we know about Cal McNair. Let's remember the resume that Cal McNair has put on display while he's been in charge for the Houston Texans. And now ask yourself, do you want that guy to be more involved with the most important position in the Texans organization as the head coach of the football team? Like, it seems like answer to me, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're
for
not.
Thinking that's a
you're
simple not. No? I don't want him to be more involved?
Let's also take it a step further, Jeremy, because of the fact that a lot of people are thinking that we're just focused on the Colin Cowherd situation that surfaced yesterday. go listen to The Highway to Hell. Go look at, listen to the long-form interview there. 45 minutes of absolute cringeworthy commentary from the owner of your football team that just absolutely sounded like, without his wife and the help of prepared announcers that were trying their best to try and steer clear of a major, like, neck-dropping crash on the side of the road that you had to rubberneck for hours at a time, he couldn't get out of his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's doing that after it's pre-scripted with your flagship, imagine what it would be like if he tried to do it with a candidate for the coaching job for his football team. Do I want to work for that guy? Now, some guys might say, well, I could easily manipulate that dude, but there's a Casario in the middle. But at the same time, could he hinder me in getting done what I need to get done to be the best football team we can be? Abso-freaking-lutely he could.
Needs to be a silent owner. Beasley brings up a point I wanted to bring up. Keep in mind that that Sean Payton could not conduct an in-person interview until the 17th. So that was on Tuesday. Could not conduct an in-person interview on the 17th. Why are you interviewing before the 17th? Why aren't you the first person in L.A. on the 17th? Denver was there.
It's like
Denver
was there. About again with
Carolina's got the meeting set up this week. Why weren't you there? Why were you doing the Zoom meeting on Monday?
Teams know 12:01 on whatever date. They're lined up ready, either knocking on the front door of their house or they've got a suite at a hotel in the town where the player is and saying, we're ready at 12:01, stop on by.
Yeah, I understand that he could not interview in person until the 17th. Cool. Don't hold an interview until the 17th. Denver got it figured out. Carolina got it figured out. Whining and dining them. You got to Zoom. Now, look, all of this could be dispelled, this whole hour of bashing the Texans for their dysfunction, which I believe that there is. I think Sean Payton told Colin Cowherd this organization is dysfunctional. I think you'd be kind of wise to listen to that 8.5 minutes from Colin Cowherd yesterday, and you'd be able to surmise that. I believe he's telling you Cal McNair is dysfunctional. All of this could be forgotten and ignored completely, really, with another interview. Like, if Sean Payton takes another interview with the Houston Texans, okay, well, Colin Cowherd didn't know what he was talking about. Okay, maybe the dysfunction of the organization is not true. If Sean Payton takes another interview with the Texans, we have our answer. Okay, it's all for naught. But if Sean Payton does not take another interview with the Houston Texans, I think we also have our answer.
I think we've got a pretty good indication. You know, obviously, unless you're in the room or involved in the communication, you never know 100%, but I think you're absolutely right.
Retread coaches versus first-year coaches. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.